Many people own a Bible but haven't taken time to read it. Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. And today we're exploring, in summary fashion, what the Bible says about the most important topics.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. We turn to the Scriptures to listen to what God says. God speaks through His Word, and we want to hear everything our Father wants us to know. We know the Word of God will bless us with the best information. It's what we must know to have eternal life. And we want the gospel truth. And you get that with the written Word of God found in the Holy Bible. Thanks for taking time with us today. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. Now, it matters whether we listen to the Bible. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Wise people listen to Jesus and do what He says, but foolish people fail to do what they hear from Him. Wise people stand with God, but foolish people fall. Obedience to the Word matters. John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." To be obedient, we must know what God says. Obedience begins with listening and paying attention to what we have heard. Sadly, many people assume they know what the Bible says when they've only heard some of what God says. We must take time to examine Scripture for ourselves, because many are preaching human tradition rather than the gospel truth. We must listen to all that God says on any subject if we expect to know the truth. You can trust the Scriptures to teach the truth. Now, we offer this study on what the Bible says free in a little booklet called Know Your Bible. If you'd like a printed copy and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also have many free programs and materials on our website, searchtv.org. You can also see us on YouTube. We'll now worship in song, read from Psalm 19, 7-11, and examine some summaries of what the Bible says. Our reading today comes from Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, and there tells us of the value of the Word of God and its sufficiency for our lives. "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Oh, we need that great reward by keeping the words of God. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful that you have designed this wonderful book that teaches us so many good things that are true and right and righteous altogether. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be good servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To say what the Bible says in such a short time requires that we speak in summaries. First, the Bible says this about God. God is our Father. He created the heavens and earth, and we're made in His image. God loves every person. And Jesus said in John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, or should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." Oh yes, God wants to save, not judge. Now it's important to know God is God and we're not. God the Father is not limited by flesh and blood or by time. The Lord Jesus said in John 4:24 that God is Spirit. Hebrews 12:9 reminds us God is the Father of spirits. Acts 17:28-29 reminds us, "For in Him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are His children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man." Moses said in Psalm 90:2, "Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." The one who created time is not subject to it. God doesn't have limits like humans. Isaiah 40:28-29 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable." Yes, God knows all things, can do all things, and has all power. Matthew 19:26 reminds us that with God all things are possible. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Psalm 147, 5 says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite." We must also understand about God that He is supremely holy. God cannot be tempted to sin, nor does He tempt any man with sin. James 1, verse 13. God commands His children, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter 1, 16. God's eyes are too pure to approve sin. Habakkuk 1, 13. David said in Psalm 5 and verse 4 that you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. And this is why our God, who is just and righteous, must punish evil. Second, the Bible says this about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament speaks through Moses and the prophets that God would raise up a prophet, priest, and king who is the Messiah, the Christ. And Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies according to Luke 24, 44. He was born in Bethlehem according to Micah 5, verse 2. He was the prophet like Moses predicted in Deuteronomy 18, 15. He was rejected by His people according to Isaiah 53. Yet He set up a kingdom in the first century according to Daniel 2 and Matthew 4, 17. And though He died upon a cross, and though the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all, Jesus was willing to bear our sins and do the Father's will. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that He might bring you to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 4, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Now Jesus is our Savior, but Jesus is also our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad." Third, the Bible says this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it, but a person. Jesus told the apostles in John 14, 26, "But the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Jesus continues talking to the apostles in John 16, 13, when He says that when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now, the Holy Spirit was behind the birth of Jesus, Matthew 1, verse 18, behind the resurrection of Jesus, and we and will be involved in our resurrection. Romans 8 and verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Fourth, the Bible says this about Scripture. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17, that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training or instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Peter also realized the inspiration of Scripture, and he said in 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, that is, men didn't make it up. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The prophets did not speak when or as they wished. God communicated to them what He wished for them to say." God told Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 4 and verse 12, "I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." David said in 2 Samuel 23, 2, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue." Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, You accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Now, when God spoke through His servants, His message carried His authority. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, "If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment." The Scriptures are God's complete and final revelation to us. Fifth, the Bible says this about the church. Jesus said that He would build His church, Matthew 16, verse 18. Now, the church Jesus has, and it belongs to Him and Him alone. The church is made up of people, not bricks and mortar. Jesus shed His blood for people in His church, Acts 20 and verse 28. Jesus is the only head of His church, Ephesians 1 verses 22 to 23. The church is called a kingdom in Matthew 16 verse 19 and in Revelation 1, 4 to 6. Now, if you're in the church, you're now in the kingdom of God. The church is called a temple in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 and the household or the family of God in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Now, Jesus built and designed His church. The church is of divine origin. Philippians 1 and verse 1 says the local church is organized with overseers, that is, elders, and deacons. When the Scripture speaks of churches, the author meant local congregations who believed alike and were in fellowship with each other. Local churches helped one another in times of physical and spiritual need. Now, churches are filled with people who love and care for each other, and unity is so important. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2 that the church is made up of saints, and all Christians are saints, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. All Christians are brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 23 verse 9, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, He who is in heaven." Churches in the first century worshiped with singing, praying, partaking of the Lord's Supper, giving funds, and hearing the Word of God preached. Churches are devoted to the truth of God's Word. Colossians 2, 6 to 8 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ." Now, the church that Jesus built remains faithful to the teaching of Jesus in the first century and are unwilling to let current culture rob them of the truth. Sixth, the Bible says this about salvation. First, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. That the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. Now, this is still true. Sin still exists and still separates us from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." More than that, we need to know that we are saved by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Yes, He died for our sins. And we are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. We cannot earn our salvation. It's the gift of God. Gifts, however, carry with them conditions and responsibilities. Jesus healed the blind man of John 9, but He asked him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, now, this blind man didn't earn his sight, but he did meet the conditions of our Lord to get his sight. When the guilty souls of Pentecost asked what to do about their sins of crucifying Jesus, the Lord and Christ, Peter responded in Acts 2:38, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't question Peter, saying they were already saved. No, but they were baptized that very day. Acts 2:41 says, "So then those who had received His word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. When they were baptized, the Lord saved them and added them to His disciples." Now, to be saved, we must remain faithful to Jesus Christ. If we forsake the Lord, we can lose our salvation. Seventh, the Bible says this about the future. First, Jesus is coming again. Second, the earth and its works will be destroyed. 2 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, "But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 to 9 explains this. There Paul writes, "The Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Yes, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." But the Christian has hope when the Lord comes for His own. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17 says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord." Oh, we thank God for this promise. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that You have given us Your word that tells us about our lives, about You, and about what You expect of us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be obedient to Your will, to love You with all our hearts, so that one day we may be caught up to meet You in the air and live with You forever. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible also teaches that you have a responsibility and an accountability to God. Jesus promises to come again one day and raise the dead. John 25, verses 28 and 29 says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Yes, we'll all be judged, and either enter heaven to be with the Lord or enter a place of punishment to be separated from the Lord forever. Now, we're choosing whether to be with the Lord by what we believe and how we live. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." If is the key word. People who love the Lord keep His words, but those who don't love the Lord don't keep His words. If you choose not to love Him, you will sadly live with the consequences of your choice, with sadness. God will grant your choice to ignore Him, and there's no hope for the disbeliever and the disobedient. Now, your hope is in believing and obeying because you love the Lord. Believe with all your heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be willing to confess that. Turn from a life of sin, worldliness, and all those things to a life of love and service by repenting. Now, being baptized into Christ by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins is necessary. And when you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into His death. That's when God frees you from sin by the blood of Jesus and gives you newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 to 7. Yes, that's when God causes you to be born again, adds you to His church, and makes you His child. We hope today's study about what the Bible says has blessed you. We're offering a free booklet, Know Your Bible. And if you live in the United States and want a free printed copy, send your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call the Search Office toll free at 1-800-321-8633. There's a schedule of our programs and a map of churches in your area at searchtv.org. You can watch Search on YouTube, and we ask that you subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and then like the programs that you watch. We also offer free Bible correspondence courses. Now, if you get a hold of us, don't worry, we're not asking for money. We're here to help you draw close to God. We do ask that you show God your love by worshiping at church. You need a church family, and if you can attend, don't neglect worshiping at church. Oh, I know some of you can't because of health reasons, but if you can, go. There's probably a Church of Christ near you. And if you're looking for a healthy biblical church home, we'll gladly help you find one. We'll be back next week, Lord willing. Keep searching God's Word with us. Tell a friend about the program. God bless you, and we love you from all of us at In Search of the Lord's Way.